We've taken a look and started off with this really from our doctrinal statement, taking a look at the word predestination. Of course, we hold to the doctrine of election and predestination in the Scripture. It's one of our, it's in our doctrinal statement, and it's a good doctrine, blessed doctrine of the Lord. I wanted to go through the Scriptures and take a look at that word and its use. I've mentioned about how we learn from the Scripture by direct command. We learn from the Scripture by example, and we learn from the Scripture and the spirit of the Scripture. That's the way I would call it. Whereas the Scripture says the things that it says, and we're to believe what they say. But from that, we can draw a conclusion about things that may not be exactly spelled out. And so that's what I mean by that. It may be a bad way to say it. But with that, with the spirit of the Scriptures, we have to be careful, because we can take, and I'm subject to take things and stretch them over farther to an area maybe than they would go. And so that's where we need to go back and take a look. And we've taken a look at these words: predestination, the word determine, or forms of the word determine. Ordain, the word ordain, and forms of the word ordain. We took a look at the will of, and how there is, we know that there's the will of God, there's also the will of men, there's the will of Satan. In regards to our Lord, there's his desired will, what he expects, and what he's given to us in his word, those things he's directed. His permissive will, and that sometimes the Lord just allows things. He allows things. Now, he knows everything, so understand, God is never going to be snuck up on by anyone or anything, you know. So, you know, he is omnipotent, and that means he's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows all things because he's everywhere. He's God. Okay. But he does allow things. And then there's that directive will of the Lord, and praise God for that, because that by that directive will is how sinners are saved. How men are called, how churches are established. A church is established. I mean, one of the Lord's churches is established by his directive will, isn't it? They're his churches. I mean, he would birth them into being, wouldn't it? But there is that, I believe, in the Lord, and just trying to look and see about, you know, is it so that the Lord has ordained every single thing, or is there a free agency with man that he has allowed? And again, I'll state, again, to be clear, the free agency of natural man will lead nothing to the opposite direction from God. That's the only place it can go. That's the reason that the Lord elected a people and then works and calls and saves and makes them his own and puts the Holy Spirit within and quickens and makes alive. I was talking to someone in this past week. The Lord saved the way he's always saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's how Adam was saved. And that's how we have been saved. And that's how the next sinner that's saved will be saved. And all that will be saved will be saved. And so you know, that is what that is, because of our situation. But I think that the Lord does deal with man, in that he allows man to go. He restrains man where man needs to be restrained. The Lord has an ultimate plan that he's working out, and he has individual points and things that he wants accomplished that he does. And then there's the children of God that the Lord he's saved us. He's put his spirit within. And then he's given us instruction about how we're to build, how we're to walk, how we're to go. He's given us prayer by which we can seek his face. He's given us his spirit by virtue of salvation. But yet we have this old man and this wrestling that we have. You do have a wrestling, don't you? It's there. And you could have decided not to come to services today. And if you'd had a legitimate reason, the Lord knows that. But then sometimes we decide to go to services just maybe because we just don't want to. And the Lord's not pleased with that. And so we can't lay that at the feet of the Lord. Well, the Lord ordained before the foundation of the world that I would choose not to go to services today. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. The Lord knows about it. But you had it before you, child of God, with the Spirit of God within you, to obey your Lord. He expects to be obeyed. And we'll give an account before the judgment seat of Christ on whether we've built and whether we've obeyed or whether we have not. Okay, and so I think the Lord deals with us, as you know, I like this, the way I like to say it, He deals with us as He has created us. And we do have even a free agency about us as the children of God. Well, but we understand we've been given great blessings. Prayer, okay? Prayer, which with prayer, doesn't prayer close the gap with a passage like in the book of Philippians that states, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? When our Lord tells us as the children of God to come unto me and learn of me, does He really mean that? He does. Will that take some effort on mine and yours part? Yeah. Will we be able to understand things without the help of the Lord? No. But with the Spirit of God within and with petitioning and seeking His face for help, can we? Yeah. I think Brother Peter tells us in his epistles that we have an unction that we can understand things. John tells us, John tells us that we have the Spirit within us and that it's not necessary that any teach us because the Lord will teach us. Now, the Lord uses means. I'm glad Brother Mark has got the adult Sunday school class for the period of time. The other brethren that do. The Lord uses means to carry His word to teach us. But if you and I are thinking off in the pew, thinking about what we're going to do next week, while our brethren are teaching or preaching, we're all subject to it, right? That's that wrestling. We're back to that wrestling again. I remember what it was to be a member of a church, to come to services and to stay up too late on Saturday night and then be sleepy on Sunday. I know what that's like. It's hard to pay attention. I know what it's like to have a project at work that is just weighing you down and not take it to the Lord and be thinking about that thing in the middle of that happens too. But with the Lord, I don't want to be thinking about that thing right now. I want to concentrate upon your word, and I pray you'd help me. And see, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Lord, I'm afraid to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just flat a chicken and scared. But Lord, help me that I would, in spite of being afraid, I'd go ahead and tell them about what Jesus has done for me. See, if we don't petition the Lord and where we lack and where we need help and we have this wrestling and this controversy, this old man that's doing nothing. What's this old man doing? He's just dragging us down to the grave. This old man is death, right? Isn't he dying? He doesn't know nothing but death, right? But the new man wants to serve God, doesn't sin, has a desire for the Word of God, and is refreshed and blessed by the Lord. And we pray the Lord to help us in this quarrel that we have, this wrestling that we have, these two natures that we have at hand. I think if He's told us that we can seek His face and come to Him in prayer, find grace to help in time of need, that means there's going to be a time of need. There's going to be a time to go to the throne of grace. And you know what I reckon? If He's told us that, He'll help us. Amen. Amen. He will. And so the working of the Lord with us. I wanted to wrap up this consideration in just taking a look at the two words, all things, in the scripture. If we would find that our Lord has ordained, I'm not talking about knowledge, but we find that the Lord has ordained every little single thing that ever happened, every bug that hits every windshield and every little thing, rather than creating things, setting things in their course and bounding things. And when the wickedness of man would rise above that which the Lord, that would go against the will of the Lord, the remainder of wrath He restrains. Okay. You hear that? We would find it in these words, all things. Okay. I think we would find it there. And I don't think we found it in the other consideration, the other words that we've seen. And again, I'm not talking about the knowledge of the Lord. I'm talking about the way the Lord has dealt with creation, the way he's dealt with mankind. He is the creator of all things, and he owns everything. And he is omnipotent. He is omniscient. And no man, no creature, no being can thwart him in any way. But I don't think that this is a pre-programmed event in completeness. The nations will be gathered, the man of sin will rise, and the Lord will wrap up this world when he is determined to be. But I don't think everything in between, not all things, are ordained or predestined by our Lord, as some believe. Maybe you think differently. I would like to see it from the scriptures, okay? The Lord has ordained many things. And if it's been prophesied or ordained of him and not even prophesied, it will come to pass. There's no thwarting him. But bringing this down here to mine in your life, how will it be with us? Got the Spirit of God living within. We got a directive from our Lord to obey him and the good word of God with instruction. Many ifs in the scripture and the great provision of prayer and Jesus at the right hand of the Father, helping and making intercession. Sometimes you and I don't know what to pray, but the fact that we do go and pray, when we say, Lord, help me, don't you think that our Lord would get busy to help in the thing that's not? Sometimes the Lord helps us without our petition. Indeed, I don't deny that, but we do have this walk before our Lord in this way. In consideration of the words, all things, I find six different categories to put these in, and I'm not going to spend time on going through these because there's some other things that we need to move on, I believe, that I need to address from the standpoint of the church, and some other things that we need to look at and teach and preach on. But when we take a look at the word all things, those two words, all things, in that way in the scriptures, we find the categories that they fall into, the scriptures and the passages fall into, is that the Lord's the creator. He is the creator of all things, isn't he? He is the giver. Okay, so we talk about, if he's the creator, indeed he is the giver, isn't he? Right, indeed he is. He is, we find references in that, the use of the word all things, that he makes promises or he makes prophecy. Okay, and we find that. We find these words, all things, used from the standpoint of judgment. He's going to destroy, or he's going to bring all things into judgment. We see it from the standpoint of our Lord's power, because he is all powerful. There's no power greater, no power and authority greater than his or his ability. And then we find out about the use of the word all things. We find out that there are scriptures and passages that talk about our Lord and all things in regards to knowledge. He knows it all. He knows the beginning from the end. He does. So how can that be, Brother Jim? See, would it be greater, and I just pose this to you, would it be greater for our Lord to program everything from before the foundation of the world? I'm not talking about his knowledge, but to program every single event of every single little thing that would happen and then set it on its course to fulfill his will? Or would it be a greater exhibition of power if he has his ultimate plan that he will fulfill from beginning to end, and different things that he would ordain in the calling of his saints? You know, because we know predestination is so. That's how sinners are saved. Those things are ordained. The salvation of his saints are ordained. But then as he dealt with mankind and gave them the directive that he did in his word, and the things he gave to Adam, the things he gave in his word to the Israel, and then the things he's given in the New Testament, and he sets things on their course, and then to fulfill his perfect plan and will, he dealt with men along the way, never being thwarted, which would be a greater exhibition of power. Giving men a directive, letting sinful man pursue his nature, but never allowing him to thwart the Lord in every way. The Lord, who's able to work in the heart and put it in the heart of a king to not go today, but go tomorrow. To put it in a heart, never never being thwarted in any way. His children, Jonah, go to Nineveh. I don't want to go. All right, I'll take care of that. The Lord wasn't thwarted, wasn't he? Because Jonah was going to Nineveh. High road or low road? Samson, you're going to be a judge over Israel for what? 20 years? Was it 20 years or 40 years? I think his was kind of short, if I'm thinking right. Samson wasn't obedient, was he? His eyes got the better of him. But you know what? The Lord got out of him what he wanted out of his son. Would we say that? So there would be some that would say, well, Samson just wasn't saved. But could we say that? Samson was saved. Called to the Lord, a judge of Israel. Man used of the Lord. But he took the low road. Because it was given what he should obey. But did he obey it? He didn't obey it. Is he still the Son of God? He's in glory right now with our Lord. It was ordained, it was predestined that he would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? There he is, conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what was predestined. But he had his life before him in the command of the Lord. We want to take a look this afternoon. I know that's a long introduction, but I feel like I have to be careful with this subject. And to make clear where I stand, I'm not wanting to seemingly thwart anything that's believed or has been thought of in that. I just really want to know about this, and so I pose this to you with just an honest look to the Scripture to try to take and understand these things in the way that's right. And so I appreciate your prayers for me, and you continue to pray. The Lord will help us and bless us together. Let's go to the book of Colossians, okay? Let's take a look here. We looked last time in the book of Ephesians, and this book of Colossians, and this passage here that we're going to go across here this afternoon is just a wonderful passage. It's compact and it's concise. It has a lot of references in this about this term, all things. Okay, and so we want to look at it. The brother is writing the church at Colossae. He's has given his introduction here, and Epaphras is a brother that's there, has been ministering to that church, maybe even a member of that church, but going back and forth between the Apostle Paul and them. And he mentions about him here in verse number 7. And let's pick it up here in Colossians 1, verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And so it seems like he was sent of the church there at Colossae to minister unto Paul, maybe carry some blessing unto him from that church, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And so they have a testimony. They have a testimony that's there. They have faith. The brother heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and the hope that is laid up for them in heaven. He makes reference to that in verses 4 and 5. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so we took a look about that there is the will of God. What is it? How can you know it? Well, need to be filling up with the Word of God so we can have that foundation within. And then we need to be praying for what the will of the Lord is for us specifically. In this Bible, if it was in here about the house that mom and dad should buy, we would go and look to find that passage. They would go to look to find that passage, and we'd find that's the one. But that's not in here. So and just as that example, there needs to be much prayer that our Lord would show what that is. Just as an example, you have decisions before you daily, weekly, monthly. Need to find out. It's not spelled out in the Scripture what your decision should be. And so we've got to know there is a will of the Lord. I believe that there is. And we need to seek that. And so prayer would be here. He desires that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, because it could be that they wouldn't be. If he desires that for them, isn't the opposite of that they wouldn't be? Have you ever known a church? Do you, and I'm not looking to be critical, but have you ever known of a church that by their operation and their way did not seem to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding? When a church disobeys the word of the Lord about the operation and way of the church, isn't that what's going on? Okay, so the brother desires that for them to this end. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That means we might not walk worthy. But if we love him, we can keep his commandments. We can find out his commandments. We can pray for help for him, for us to keep his commandments and to obey him. Give us discernment. Give us understanding. Peter says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If he's given us all things, they're at hand. But if we listen to the flesh, if we listen to the quote unquote good advice of men or quote unquote the good advice of the world, we may get in trouble with the Lord, right? The world is enmity with God. What makes sense to us naturally may not be what makes sense and what is the directive of our Lord. See how this ties together? That you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, because you might not be, increasing in the knowledge of God, because we may not increase, of the people in your life. And again, not to be critical. How is it with you? Have you learned more about the Word of God this year than you knew the year before? Now, I'm understanding more and more about forgetting things. So then, with the forgetfulness thing going on, we need to have things renewed, don't we? But sad to say, there are people, even in position or in leadership of churches, quote unquote, or folks that have been members of churches for 30, 40, 50, 60 years and don't know a thing about the Bible. How can that be? How can that be? Because we're to be growing up. And I understand we may grow at different rates indeed, but there needs to be an increasing. There needs to be a renewal that we might be fruitful. We might walk worthy. Strengthened with all might, verse number 11. Might be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So fruit of the Spirit being mentioned there. Giving thanks, a thankful people unto the Father, which hath made us meet. He's made us suitable somehow. The great operation of God, he's made us suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It is bright and white and hot light in glory with our Lord, because his brilliance shines there. And our brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone on before us, they're there with our Lord. And they're in a state, they're in a condition that they can be there before God. And you know what's going on with them? You know what's going to go on with us when we have that new body promised to us by our Lord? There'll be no more wrestling. That's hard to even imagine, isn't it? It's hard to even fathom that when our Lord gives a directive that we would have a challenge at hand to obey, that there would not be some kind of drag where we might refuse the command of the Lord. But in that new body like Christ's, no hindrance. No hindrance physically, no hindrance with this old man or the lack of spirituality that this old man has, no hindrance whatsoever. And we have been made suitable to be partakers of that inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. See, you know, if we read the Word of God and we'll take a look at the promises, Peter tells us that by knowing the promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature. I mean, does not that statement thrill your soul? That you have that promise as a child of God? Now, I get blessed and I get charged up, and it might not last for long, but it sure is a blessing when we do. So it's a testimony that we need to feed on the Word of God, isn't it? Giving thanks unto the Father, thanking him, Lord, a great promise at hand. You've made me meat.
And then verse 13.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's taken us from darkness to light. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. That redemption goes that far. The forgiveness of sins paid by our Lord on that cross. Who is the image of the invisible God. Christ is the firstborn of every creature. Okay, so an introduction to our verse here. Listen to what it says. For by him were all things created. John tells us that. What? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ was there at the creation. Christ is the Creator. Not only is the Savior, not only is he the Redeemer, not only is he the Judge, he's the Creator. And who is the image of the invisible God? If you're going to see God, if you and I are ever going to see the Lord, God Almighty, the great I Am, it's going to be by seeing Christ. It's going to be by seeing him. By seeing the Lamb. It's going to be by seeing him. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. He created it all. And what's it say? That are in heaven, he created all those things. That are in the earth, he's created everything that you and I see. He's created it all. He created it by the word of his mouth. He created it out of nothing. He created it. It's all his. He's the creator. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. The king in Saudi Arabia has his throne and his power by the determinate counsel and ordaining of God. I mean, the scripture is clear that he ordains the leadership. Government is from our Lord. Now, we disagree with that Lord. We disagree with that government. We believe it's heathen, and indeed it is. It's separate from God. It's away. But that king, our president, has his seat because of the power of our God. And I think it's the reason that we have that presently is from the standpoint of judgment. We deserve the leadership that we have as a nation. And it's sad. But thrones, dominions, principalities, you know what? Satan is the prince and power of the air because God Almighty has ordained it and give him that charge. Satan's not equal with God. Jesus Christ is and Satan are not brothers that are at odds with each other. Don't buy into that stuff. It's not so. He was created and he was given that charge by the Lord. Whether we see the powers, whether we see the thrones, whether we see the dominions, principalities, the Lord has created them and has ordained them. And we come here, all things were created by him and for him. Understand, in the way that our Lord deals with man, it's not that man is just turned loose, but there's bounds, there's a purpose, and there's a great plan and work of God. And we mentioned this scripture last time, that if the Lord doesn't cut this whole thing short, no flesh would be saved. Man's self-destruction would just do that, self-destruct him. But you know what? The Lord made a promise to Israel, and he's going to keep it. And when it looks like they're done, he's going to save some of them. And he's going to bring his nation again. And then we come to verse 17. For he is before all things. He's in front of number one. I'd said previously, and I heard a brother say, so I would always say the Lord's number one. Well, that word preeminence that we see in this is he's even before number one. Okay, he's at the top, for he is before all things, And by him all things consist. Not only has he created everything, but he keeps it together. If the earth got off its orbit, if the earth got off its tilt, if the moon changed its place, there would be havoc that would come about. Like all this global warming that we're having now, we've had recently. Our Lord, he has spoken it into existence. He's created it, and he keeps it all together. My, if he can keep this earth on its orbit and keep the tilt of this earth just right, can he take care of you and me? If he can make the sun come up again by virtue of his creating of that, and I believe he's created it and he set it in order, and and the way that he's created is the way that it operates until he decides to change it. There was a time the Lord made the sun go backwards because he's the creator. He can do with it what he wants. He can cause it to stand still if he wants to, or he can cause it to go on as he has ordained. He holds it all together. And listen to this in verse 18. And he is the head of the body. Amen. What body? The church. Amen. He's our leader. Brother Jim, I thought you were our leader. As the brother said this morning, I'm the under shepherd. I'm a sheep taken from among the sheep to be a servant of the Lord, to be a minister to the sheep. But I'm a sheep just like you. I got the same problems you've got. I've got the same temptations you have. I don't think y'all got too many hang-ups, but I've got hang-ups. Okay? I'm a man just like you are. But our Lord's the head. How do we look to our Lord as being the head? Think about this. The instruction in the scripture, even from this, doesn't this charge us that when we've got an issue before us, that we go to our Lord for the answer for it? But if we say, well, Brother Jim, we got an issue here and we need to go and get together here and figure this out. I understand that language, but don't we need our Lord to figure it out and show us what to do? Isn't he honored when we as a church go to him and, Lord, we got this issue, we got this situation, we got this problem. Help us know what you want us to do. Isn't our Lord honored and glorified in that? Won't he honor that when we go to him? But what if we just got a powwow together and said, what are we going to do about this? And we say, well, I think we ought to do this. We ought to do that. I know that Brother so-and-so did this. And say, okay, well, that's just it. And we never seek the Lord's face. Well, I think the Lord can bless us in spite of ourselves. But I tell you what, we haven't honored him in it as we could if we would go to him. Amen? Because he's the head. He's the head. Our acknowledging that he is our leader is worship to him. Our going to him, you and me, we praying before we come together for services that our Lord would bless us in the services. By that very thing, we have worshiped our Lord in private, that he would help us collectively. And when we come together and we honor and acknowledge him, that he is the leader. And he is before all things. He's number one, and by him all things consist. And so all things mentioned there, he holds things together. This is his work. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He rose from the dead first. And you know what? If you're saved by Jesus Christ, you're going to raise from the dead too. Amen. he did it. If that salvation and touch and rescue and soul salvation of the sinner by Christ, it can't help but be that that soul will raise from the dead. If Christ raised from the dead, those that are die in Christ or asleep in Christ, I think as the brother says, it can't help but they rise too. Amen? They raise too. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence. He's above number one. He is above all. He is our focus. He is our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our hope. Yeah, and getting up tomorrow morning and going to work. Brothers and sisters, you better be looking to the Lord. Amen? And for living in your home and decisions that you have to make and the raising of your children and the witness to your family, we better be looking to the Lord. For the work of the Lord in His church and for help to know how to go and to do the things that provide for the things or do the things that we just don't have within us to do, we need to be looking to our Lord. And it goes here and says in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Not you and me. Oh, we're benefactors of the fullness dwelling in Him. But see, the Father has said all the focus is on the Son. Children, focus on the Son. Church, focus on the Son. Focus on Him. For it pleased the Father says, my Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. You know, that still stands. That's still at hand, isn't it? Then we come to verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Kind of sounds like what we read over there in Ephesians chapter 1, didn't it? Last Sunday, where it says there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, that He might gather together in one all things. Unity in the Lord. Our Lord Jesus is going to be at the center of it all when this whole world is wrapped up, and He's going to be at the center of it all in the millennial reign indeed. But then when this whole world's wrapped up and the new heaven and the new earth is at hand, and we're there with our Lord, He's going to be the focus of it all. He's the focus of it all now, and He's going to be the focus of it all then. Amen? Having made peace through the blood of His cross, His blood that was shed there, the suffering that He accomplished there, He made peace with God, with the Father, if you will, through those things that He has done and then somehow imputed that to us, His righteousness, our sin imputed unto Him, His blood washing away our sins. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. There's going to come a time, I think if I understand it right, it's going to come yet. Maybe it's already happened, but I think it's going to come. Satan's going to be thrown out of heaven as far as his access goes. God's going to be done with that. That accuser of the brethren won't have access there anymore. Maybe it's already happened, or it will happen. And you know what that's going to be? That's going to be just one thing of where this cloak, God who has dealt with man spiritually, hear me out here, the Lord Jesus came in the flesh and He's given His word through the instrumentality of men. But you know what? It's going the mystery of that, where it's only seen by we who are saved. It's going to come closer and closer and closer. The whole thing's opened up that every person living, of course, the dead already know, those that are dead and in hell, they know God is omnipotent and reigneth. They know that they rejected Christ. But every person living, the cloak's going to be taken off of it. The mystery is going to be opened up and revealed. And everybody's going to know that this is our Father's world. Amen? It's going to be known. He's going to reconcile all things to Himself. Everything's going to be accountable to Him. And that's where the scripture says, every knee's going to bow. Not most. Not the biggest part of, not 99.9%, but every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the honor and glory of the Father. All things. He's going to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, I say, whether it be things in heaven, or things in earth, or things in heaven. Verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Isn't that great? To be reconciled to our Lord, we're reconciled. It's an accounting term, isn't it? Isn't reconciled an accounting term? It's all been made right. We're meet to be partakers in that inheritance. It's all okay. God's not saying, well, I'm going to ignore that part. It's all been taken care of. Jesus has paid the price. He's done these things for us. Hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death? He's done it personally by what he did to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the salvation that the Lord gives if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or the stewardship, the calling that he has upon him. We saw that about the will of God, that it was to call the Apostle Paul to be such. Dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Long sentence, isn't it? To whom God would make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's that. Christ is in us by virtue of the Spirit of God being in us, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. He says in verse 23, if. Now, Brother Jim, is that saying that somebody can be saved and then lose it? No. It's one of these statements, and one day I want to take these and compile these and preach some messages on them. It's that writing to the saints, that writing to the churches of the Lord, writing to the Lord's children in his churches with that charge there. Are you really saved? That's what they are. Are you really saved? Because I tell you what, sinner, there's no thing greater than the need of the salvation of the soul. See, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, it could be that somebody, there's combinations of things that could exist. You could be like I was. I professed that I was saved, but I was not. I didn't continue at that time in the faith, grounded and settled. I was trusting in what I was doing. I was trusting in what I knew. For the child of God that's saved, maybe it would be that the child of God would continue in the faith, grounded and settled. But then there are those that are the children of God that'll deny what the Lord gives and will be saved so as by fire. So see, it's a challenge. Where are you? Are you saved? That's number one. And then, now that you're saved, have you been baptized and a member of one of the Lord's churches? That's what the Lord expects, isn't it? That's what the Lord gives and commands, isn't it? That's his purpose and plan. We know that there are those that don't do that. But if you've been convicted of the Lord by that, been baptized and a member of one of his churches, now are you following and faithful? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul I am made a minister. So those challenges there. It's another way of saying, as the brother writes, what is Peter, to make your calling and election sure. Are you saved? Are you obedient to your Lord? Are you following him and his command? If you love him, you'll keep his commandments, and you'll seek his face for help to do so.
all things. I know there's other things that have come into the message we've made a point about, but that's all for this study and this consideration. There's many more passages that we could take a look at. Passages here, and mainly the passage that we saw last time in Ephesians, might be a challenge to, or might be a supporting argument about absolute predestination. But I don't think that that's so. I don't think that that is. If you have any questions, ask. And if you have any scriptures, I'd like to see them. I'd like to hear about them. We know that our Lord has preordained some things. We know that our Lord has predestinated us to his children to salvation and to the inheritance at hand. He's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's predestinated the kings of the earth and predestinated and ordained his churches indeed. But how is it that the Lord works with us? I think he deals with us as he's created us. Mankind, made in the image and likeness of God, being given a directive by God and his expectation that we keep it. He sends out his gospel and he saves sinners and he makes his children by virtue of salvation by the Lord. And then as a child of God, we have before us, will we obey him or will we disobey him? Because remember, we do have a judgment. Not a judgment whether it'll be the state of our soul eternally. That's secure in Christ. Our soul is saved. We're secure in Christ forevermore. But we will give an account about how we've built, how we've obeyed. We will give an account to that, to the extent of that which we've been exposed to. Remember the principle at hand in the scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, if that says that way, what's that mean? And so may the Lord help us in these things. Like I say, if you have any questions, ask.